Hello everyone. On today's episode is a very good friend of mine and my colleague, the founder of the Bulgarian School in Chicagoland, which is the biggest school outside of Bulgaria. Please welcome Zhivka.
Yeah, I have to stay home, which at the same time, I see the opportunity to finish many of the things that I already started to do now, Anna. I have 8 books that I'm reading at the same time, just because all of them are good. So I start a new one, and then I receive another one. I said, let me try this one. And then I finish. And now I have 8 to finish. And I still didn't get to them. Because all this week I prepare resources for the school, for Bulgarian school.
Okay. Mostly. You know, I've been always fascinated with people who can read multiple books at the same time. My American mom, that's what she does. She's never mentioned that she can read 8 books, or she's reading, I should say, 8 books at the same time. She always says, oh, I'm reading these 2 books at the same time. And in my head, I say, how can you keep track of the events and all this? Like in your case, 8 books, how do you have a schedule?
Actually, I don't read them at the same time. But for example, I would start one book today, and tomorrow I will receive another one. I will start with not finish the other one. So then I'll go to the third, and now I'm up to 8. But I try to close all that during this period. So this will be one of my goals. I have many goals for that, to finish the book for 5th graders, to prepare materials for online students. Oh, and I also teach Bulgarian as a foreign language online. Yeah.
Wonderful. Is this because of this situation you got this opportunity to start teaching online, or you've been doing it for a while?
No, I haven't been doing anything online. I even hate camera in this situation. I mean, in a situation like this, but now I love it. I used to hate it. And before that, everything was live session all the time.
Face-to-face.
And I didn't do Bulgarian as a foreign language for maybe like 2 years. But at the same time, this is something that I cannot say no to. So, okay, they asked me, because this was my main job in Bulgaria. Teaching Bulgarian is a second language. And now, so this is one of my future goals, to create enough resources for teaching Bulgarian as a second language, because the books that I use from Bulgaria, they're actually for students who can participate in your classes at least for 4 hours daily. So it's a lot of work even to cut them, to, and still to keep track of everything that happens in grammar, and all this.
It sounds like a lot of work, but let me track back a little bit.
Don't you teach Russian?
I actually don't. Very, very occasionally when people ask me, I do it. But when I did it for the first time in my life, I realized that it's totally different method when you teach English as a second language, for example, and Russian as your native language. Uh-huh. Totally different dynamics, totally different method and approach. And being a native speaker, sometimes it's challenging for me because I didn't learn in particular this language. That's how I grew up, right? The same way how you grew up in Bulgaria. And let's track back to your story, how it all started. From what you're saying, I understand that you were born and raised in Bulgaria.
Yes, I am.
And then one day you decided to come to the United States.
Yes, we came to the United States because my son came first in May, And actually, all of a sudden, he was 19 years old. He decided to join Navy. And we couldn't find for a while. We couldn't connect with him. So one day he just called us and said, okay, I joined Navy. And tomorrow I will be in the campus, in boot camp, and I won't be able to go and talk to you. So we freaked out and started looking for different opportunities. Then we went to the embassy and they found him. And we got a visa to come and see him when the boot camp was ever after 6 weeks. And it was on Christmas Eve, 1999. So we landed and we were able to see each other just for a couple of hours. And I don't know if I have to say that, but a priest from, he was Russian, from Russian Orthodox Church, helped us meet with our son. For hours. Then he moved to different parts. Then September 11 happened after a year and so. And we decided actually to stay here and be with him, close to him. Yeah.
Do you remember the state when you came here for the first time? What was the state in the United States?
The state? Uh-huh. Illinois.
It was Illinois?
Yeah.
Because I know that people come to the United States and sometimes they come to New York, then to Chicago. But it looks like that was meant to be. You landed in Illinois and you've been in Illinois your American life.
Yes, and by the way, we landed to Illinois. We met with our son just twice for hours. And then he was sent to go to another, I forgot the word. to army station or whatever, to base. Okay, so he was based first in San Diego. Then in Virginia, and then in Italy. So we were staying by that time, and he said, you have to wait for myself to come back, because I will need you guys to do this and this. He had a lot of plans by that time, so he still has them. And there was a time when he was in Italy, and we were waiting for him here.
Where is this passion coming from? Why all of a sudden the decision was to join the U.S. Navy? Was it influenced by American movies, or you have somebody in the family that influenced him?
I think he started checking their website and someone connected with him. This is what he told us. But before that, he tried to work with for small companies, construction companies here, and because he's very crafty, he was a boy, but he knew how to do many things, and I know that he was a very hard worker, and some of this company, they didn't pay, and many, many things like that, because he was a minor by that time. So he decided actually to join Navy and start a new life.
Interesting. Maybe that's going to be another interview. I've never met your son, and I've known you for 5 years or something. Uh-huh. And we never met. It would be interesting to listen.
Okay, but I have two sons. One of them actually is at school and works very hard for school to set up this online program now, and he's IT. And the other one, he's project manager, the little one, the one who joined Navy. So, yeah.
You see, I didn't know that.
We're talking about my younger son.
Yeah. I'm glad that I created this opportunity to talk to people with American dream, because look at us. We've known each other for 5 years. That's the first time I hear that you have two sons.
Yeah.
So after that, your American life started in the state of Illinois, Chicagoland, and how was that for you?
Okay, so my beginning, the first week that we came here, I introduced myself to both of the churches, Bulgarian Orthodox churches, and offer my experience to set up a school. So the first one, they said, oh, we already have, you can go to another one. So I went to the second church, which was smaller, and they said, oh, we already have school. Here are the kids. And they had two kids over there. So this is how I started, with two kids in one of our Bulgarian Orthodox churches, teaching them every Sunday. And it was in January. So we came in December. In January, I was already a teacher of Bulgarian as a second language. And then until some kids, they joined the group. And I think we finished with 8 kids the first year, 7 or 8. And in September, so I became a PR for that school because I started writing articles, talking to people from our community, explaining them that this one day it would be very important that they speak their native language, and more people participated. So when the regular school year started, we had 34 kids, many friends and other Bulgarian teachers joined this community. And it was a very nice time. We were volunteers, all of us. I was there a volunteer for close to 5 years. And then we bought the house. We moved far away from the church. And I didn't want to do any teaching because I was already a student and Northeastern. And wanted to get my degree in English as a second language. But many of the parents, they called me and they said that they would, they can convince their kids to study at Bulgarian school if I was the teacher. So wow. I said, okay. So for 5 more years, actually, I was doing I was teaching to 8 kids only, and I didn't want to set up a school and everything. Then all of a sudden, my husband passed away, so I decided that I have to keep myself busy. And I said, this is the time that I can start my American dream to set up a school. And this is how I began.
Interesting. When you were talking about the beginning of your journey, when you started to work with 2 kids in the church, and you said that you started to teach them Bulgarian as a second language, and it tells me that they had Bulgarian parents, but they didn't speak the language, right? Do you see this a lot, and how do you feel about not keeping the language in the family?
I don't feel very well, but this was my mistake. It wasn't exactly Bulgarian as a second language, because by that time, kids who were at school were born in Bulgaria. So they came with some education, with some English, with some knowledge. 10 years after that, actually, we really had some kids, some Bulgarian as a second language, and some kids from mixed families that they speak English at home. They still speak Bulgarian with their mom, but English at home because father is American. So it is a mixed situation, actually. We have different levels of knowledge, and I would say that by 6th grade, if the kids start with us from kindergarten, for example, by 6th grade, they're truly native speakers. So it takes close to 6 years. And from my from my books, from my first education in Bulgaria, I remember that having 700 of instructional hours makes you a native speaker. Of course, if you study hard.
Interesting.
Yeah. So and 700 instructional hours.
And what is study hard? Like, let's say in a week, how many hours a week do you recommend to have this study hard approach?
Okay, so the more you have, what I was doing in Bulgaria was 24 hours per week, yeah, of Bulgarian. And you can do this for 1 year if you do that. So if you divide this in 6 years, so at least 4 hours weekly, at least.
Interesting. Any particular age you would recommend when parents should start learning the second language with their children, or their children should start?
Okay, so I'm very positive about that the kids have to, if we want to keep them native speakers, they have to speak the language when they're infants. So 2 year old, yeah,
very early
is my recommendation. And because I run a daycare, a Bulgarian daycare, and we can see our kids now, they're six, some of them came to the daycare when they were 2.5, because usually we are full to the capacity, so we can't accommodate them earlier. And now at 6 years, they know some of the history of Bulgarian history. They read in Bulgarian. They know many songs. They're very fluent in Bulgarian. So
That's basically, from what you are saying, to me, it looks like you are proving some scientific approaches in practice, right? Because you work with this and you see it on a daily basis.
Yes.
Any particular advice or maybe tips you hear from the parents, or maybe you adopted throughout all these years working with children, how to keep the native language in the family, in the mixed family, for example? Yes, you said they come to your daycare, but it's just several hours a week, right? The majority of the time they spend with their parents. One parent might speak English, another parent speaks Bulgarian. How to keep this native language in the family, in this kind of the family? Have you heard of any tips?
First of all, and I'm not kidding about that, because now I teach adults to Bulgarian language and they're our parents. Okay, first of all, teach your spouses to Bulgarian and try, most of American parents, they understand that and they don't mind. Depends how persistent will be the Bulgarian parent, and to provide instruction in Bulgarian, to say that this is the home of both languages, not just English, to read books. And now I would say people understand that, because now all the schools are paid. They have tuition for the whole school year, and people pay, and they come with the kids, and more kids participate. But when everything began 20 years ago, I was talking to each of the parents, explaining that one day this will be very important for the kids, that they would want to do that, and they would pay for being Bulgarians and all that. So to having bilingual kids, it was different. It changed over these 20 years. I remember that until 2007-08, people didn't understand the bilingualism, and they didn't believe in that. So now it is something they know about and they believe in.
It looks like you see a positive trend from people towards different cultures and the fact that people speak different languages.
Of course, yeah.
That's good.
Of course. And I would say that being at third grade, because I used to be ESL teacher at elementary school, so I have an idea. I knew a lot about their curriculum. And when our kids into the Bulgarian curriculum actually goes a little further, I would say, than in terms of grammar. And now their skills, they can transfer from one language to another. And yesterday, for example, my lesson was about personification. Yesterday I did something different, but before that. So they didn't know the word in English, but they have knowledge now on their native language, which is the best for myself, because the research study, and I read many books, many Stephen Krashen's books, and people who are knowledgeable in bilingualism. So everybody says that if you have the base in your native language, yeah, it is, you just have to pick up the new language, not exactly the knowledge. And we can work with all this information much better and much faster than monolingual kids, for example. And yeah, look at yourself. Actually, yeah, you have all this knowledge in Russian, then you came to this country and you just have to transfer the skills, not to learn from the beginning everything.
That's so true. And I see a lot of newcomers, and particularly in my class, they are top managers or top engineers or top scientists in their countries, but sometimes they have a hard time with the language. And I think you will agree with me that language skills can be, to get language skills can be very tough for some people, because some people, they just, they're not talented by nature. I heard that there is a connection. If you are good with music, that means that you are good with languages. So meaning that there should be some natural skill or given skill to a person that contributes into language study. Unfortunately, I see this and people get frustrated and people get discouraged, but they're top professionals. So they're in high society in their country. Unfortunately, it happens. But being in the situation that you are creating for people that come from Bulgaria, you provide the opportunity for children to learn that culture and the language since very early age. I think it's a wonderful situation. And I also know that your Bulgarian school is the biggest in the world outside of Bulgaria. How did that happen?
I don't know. Maybe actually the vision, the approach, the mission is okay, because this is something I strongly believe in. And and the kids, they come, they have fun now, they make friends. We actually, we created a new community, the community of Little Bulgarian School with all that. Yesterday I saw their faces. They were missing each other. They were missing their teachers, so which is wonderful. And we try to help in many ways. Sometimes when the newcomers look for for staff, for job, for example, we try to help. We always get newcomers as assistant teachers or helpers at our school, just to give them a chance to meet some other people. And maybe this is a good example. I have a friend, she's much younger than me, but we know this family for a while when we came here. So very, very nice people, very intelligent and everything, but they didn't look maybe for the right jobs. And then one of them, the lady, she found the job exactly from the school, from one of her very new friends. Yeah. And many, many times people call me and ask me, do you have someone who is good in this and this and this? And yeah, I look through my computer and yeah, do my Google search. And I know, oh, this person told me that, yeah, she was doing this and this in Bulgaria, and maybe she's the right one. And yeah.
It's all about connecting the right people with the right people, yes. Right?
Yes, I big know. Network and yeah. And there you connect some people. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Another example, one of our music teachers. Yeah, because you have to put something on your resume when you apply for a job. And there was a year, 2 years ago, for example, 8 of our co-workers, they found job in different school districts because they are teachers of Little Bulgarian school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were interviewed and yeah.
Nice.
They found the jobs, and which makes me very happy because I feel very comfortable having teachers who work in American system because they know and they can bring many new things to our school. So yeah, maybe this is the reason that Little Bulgarian school became huge Bulgarian school.
Might be.
Yeah, for like 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you are very passionate about supporting people, connecting people, and you are great with this. I really enjoy your diplomacy and how you talk to people. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. So I also know another part of your American dream, and that's how actually we met. This is your passion for helping people to get ready for their citizenship interviews.
Oh, and of course, yeah.
Yeah, I can feel this. I feel the vibe. And I know that you work with multiple cultures in your class, and the majority is Bulgarian community as well. And how is that going for you? I know it's very different in comparison to a Little Bulgarian school. How is that experience going for you?
Okay, it is very different because when I when I go to Bulgarian school on Saturdays, and the first thing that I would say to the kids is, okay, good morning in Bulgarian, and so, something like this, and say, oh, you know what? I speak Bulgarian only. This is the reason that I'm at Bulgarian school. And sometimes I even say, oh, you know what? I don't speak any English, so you cannot use English here. And going to my Bulgarian class, I'm looking at, because, you know, as a teacher, we always go first. And I'm looking at the clock, and 10 minutes before that, I can use Bulgarian. And then I say, okay, stop. We are here because of English. We have to now switch the brain to English and think and talk and use English only. But teaching, because, yeah, this is my passion, actually. And by the time I'm teaching, if someone says something in Bulgarian, even in Russian, and I immediately switch. So this is something that, yeah, of course, my native language is stronger than English. And plus, I don't know if I told you that, but I graduated from Russian language school, and my Russian used to be very good. And I even was a teacher of Russian here. And I have teaching certificate in Russian. Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. I'm not surprised because I saw you in action when you met my mom and you started speaking Russian to her. Her eyes were so big, and she fell in love with you.
My Russian now is not as good as it was. As actually, literature, and I knew all the poems. I knew parts of Evgeny Onegin. Yeah, and I love Russian poetry and literature.
Impressive.
Still love it.
Impressive. I personally think your Russian is great because you had no problem with communicating with my mom, who is a native Russian speaker. And since that time, she's been asking about you. She's been saying hi to you. She asked me if I saw you. So definitely that was immediate connection because of the language. I totally understand this.
Oh, yes. Yes. Language is a power. And language can make a lot of connections. And I don't know if you have to publish this, but we had issues when we found our son. I'm going back to the story. And we got the invitation from Navy. We couldn't find the appointment for the days that our invitation was. So, for example, everything was in American embassy. Everything was full of appointments. So when we talked to them, to one of the officers from the embassy, and he said, "Oh, you know what? I cannot do anything." He said a sentence in Bulgarian. And I said, "Oh, you speak Bulgarian?" And then I switched to Bulgarian. I told him that I was a teacher of Bulgarian as a second language. I taught to Bulgarian people from Morflot, Aeroflot, and all these institutions. And I asked him some professional questions about where did you study, for how long did you study, all that in Bulgarian. And the end of conversation was, "Okay, I will try to do something to find a time to go for interview in Bulgarian embassy." And we went back to our hotel and I got a phone call immediately that we have interview next day.
Amazing. So, yeah, this is the power of the language, you're right.
Yes.
It's interesting you give this situation as an example because my mom, she basically said the same when she was having her interview at the American embassy before she came here. She said that the officer, the immigration officer that was talking to her, he spoke Russian. She said with a little bit of an accent, but he spoke Russian. And he was very polite. He spoke very good language and with a lot of respect. And but what she was telling me, I sensed from her, I got that vibe that she felt respected. When an American person speaks her language, which is not a very easy language to learn, as we know, it's fascinating what you are saying, especially on that level, embassy, the countries, right? It means a lot. And in your case, it helped to solve the situation, to solve the problem. It's wonderful. Yeah. Fascinating. Excellent. And another thing, as we're talking, I was listening to you, I thought, this is just an amazing country we're living in. I read about all this in the books when I studied history about Bulgaria, about India. And I remember the time when Indian movies were so popular in Russia. My grandmother brought me to the movie theater to watch an Indian movie with Raj Kapoor, Bulgaria. My impression of Bulgaria is the perfume. It was so prestigious to have that rose perfume for a woman that everybody was crazy. Everybody was desperate to get that perfume. March the 8th, as you know, International Women's
Day. Yes, yeah.
Every woman was dreaming about this perfume of Bulgarian rose. And By the way, 2 years ago, I got this small bottle of perfume from one of my Bulgarian citizenship students. The minute I opened it, the childhood memories came in.
Wow.
It was such a flashback for me to my childhood. It's unbelievable. What I'm trying to say, when I'm talking to you and I'm realizing that I'm in a such unique situation that I can touch the history. Everything I read in the books, it's right now. You and me, we're talking about this. And you lived in your country that time. It's just mind-blowing, I guess. When you were living, or when you started your American life in this country, what was the biggest challenge for you on a personal level, on the family level, if any?
I would say the biggest challenge was the fact that during the week I was babysitting in very nice family with very supportive parents, and we are still in touch, we still love each other, but the fact that I couldn't teach during the week. So I really did a lot. By that time, I was doing my certificates, I was taking classes, but still I didn't have the job I wanted. And when I talked to them, I said, oh, this is not because of the pay or something. This is because I feel that I can do more than just having two kids. And then they started actually helping in this matter. Yeah, they asked me to stay for a little while with them, because I already became a sub teacher in District 62. And they started asking other friends to leave the kids with me. So I was setting school with them. Anytime when I have more than two or three, I said, okay, now we are playing school forever. Yeah, I was teaching and I was giving them materials, creating new materials. So it was like a game waiting for everything to happen. Okay, about my personal level, actually, the hardest thing was that there was a time when my younger son was in Italy and my older son was in Canada. So we were here, just my husband and me. And maybe that's why I started all these projects by that time, because I know that keeping yourself busy helps you not crying, not making drama of everything, but just, yeah, to focus on something which is... something that you can do, because there are things that you can't do anything, you just have to wait. So sure. I want to do the things that can be done by myself.
Absolutely. Yes. And I like this strategy that you are using right now, keeping yourself busy. And in your case, I know how passionate you are about everything you are doing, and especially your community. I know that, and I see you in action almost every day, and I communicate with you quite frequently. I feel it. And even when we communicate, I send you the message, it's a pretty quick response that tells me that you are doing things all the time. But anything you do for yourself, what kind of self-care do you do?
Oh, I swim every day, not now. But usually I go for swim every morning at 6:15 until 7:15. Then I come back and my work day starts. So swimming is one of the things that I love, and I feel like I do a lot about myself. I love books, movies, but don't have enough time to finish the books and to watch movies. Yeah, but I still do. And I'm passionate about learning new things. Right now, if I didn't start it with my books for the Bulgarian school and all these all other projects, I would study language, or I would read Dostoevsky again, or yeah.
In Russian?
Or Tolstoy, of course, in Russian. Yeah. So it's totally different if you have to read Tolstoy or Dostoevsky in English or any other language. It doesn't matter.
I agree with that.
The Russian literature is read by me only in Russian. I can't remember reading something with translation, something that's Russian literature. I mean, yeah.
Terrific. So, yeah, I sometimes hear from American people that they read Dostoevsky or War and Peace, and my eyes are probably so big because I don't know how you can read it in English. First of all, when you translate something like this into any language, it loses its authenticity. And the second thing, it's difficult. Even I remember when I was reading it, it was the part of the curriculum at school last year. It was quite difficult to comprehend all this. And mm-hmm. for somebody who is not from that culture, I don't know how you can, you know, look at these things without knowing the historical background. It can be challenging, mm-hmm. but it's great. You read it in Russian. Wow.
Oh yeah, and I really love reading Russian literature, watching Russian movies. Vysotsky is still my favorite singer and poet. And yeah, sometimes when I see something on Facebook in Russian, I go to YouTube and start searching and to reading. But this is not what it was before. At the beginning of coming here, actually, I was connected to many Russian people. I even don't know how. I even took some classes, not in Russian, but because I was the only Russian speaker. So I took a class for medical. This is an interesting story for Russian people. I don't know how it happened, but one of my our roommates, we shared the apartment with Bulgarian friend who used to be a doctor. So her English was very low and her Russian was low. And one day someone called her to offer classes for medical assistants, medical billing and stuff like that. And she said, oh, this is very nice lady, but could you talk to her because I can't understand. So I started talking to these ladies. They were two of them organizing these classes. And they told me everything. And I said, okay, I will come and be volunteer and translate to these ladies, to my Bulgarian parents. So what happened next? I talked to some of my friends, three of them joined the class. And I said, why, maybe I should join the class too. So I joined the class. They offered me a free class. I said, no, if everybody pays, I would pay too. So I paid for the class. I finished, and I was the only one offered a job. So it was, yeah, by that time, I mean, but I couldn't, I didn't accept this one because it was, by that time, I didn't have my green card yet. So the job was for someone who get a green card. So
would you accept it if you would have your green card?
Probably yes, because this was about I love the job. This was a medical, I even don't know, a medical institution that needed to distribute medicines to different countries, to translate in different languages. One of them was Bulgarian, and to talk to people, to talk to distributors, actually, about that. So it was a great job by that time. Most of the people actually were in cleaning or doing something, were low paid. Even our Bulgarian doctors, most of them were cleaning houses or offices by that time. So it was a great opportunity. And one, the person who interviewed, I forgot his name now, and he said, oh, you're doing great. And I can't understand why always say use well, why always say, okay, I can do that, or I will think of that, and what else? I can learn that. And you never said, I do that. I'm really good in this. And I said, okay, because talking to you, I know Russian culture very well, and know the Bulgarian culture, of course. And I know that people from our countries, they have to be a little shy. So this is how I looked to him, a little shy. And I said, okay, so we are not Americans, and that's why I was playing being shy. So he started laughing, and he said, oh, you know what? Mostly I'm American because I was 5 years old when I came here. Yeah, but his Russian was great. The interview was in English, but in the beginning we spoke Russian with him. I said, okay, he's Russian, so I have to behave. Oh, this is our, maybe this is interesting because I studied sociolinguistics here. This was part of my program at Northeastern. And one of the things that I was impressed with was that when you speak different languages, you have you go to their culture. With each language, you actually participate in a different culture and you change your behavior. And I started observing that this is very true. And yeah, this example with the Russian guy in the interview was the same. I said, okay, in Bulgaria and Russia, they don't like people who say, I can do everything. Yeah, they love people who are a little shy and who can learn things.
That's amazing what you're saying. Now I understand why we get connected even more, because my final thesis for English at the university back in Russia was about exactly the same you're saying, that connection of social and linguistic aspects.
Uh-huh, yes, yeah, look at.
Oh my gosh, it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was.
But you know, I am glad you didn't have your green card that time, because I'm happy that you got into education more and more and more, and look at you right now. You're supporting the entire community in the Chicagoland, and I think this is the perfect place for you, and this is the mission, and this is part of your American dream. And I want to ask you if there is anything else as a part of your American dream.
Okay, maybe the building that we bought for the school, because it was, it was a big thing that we made, and we are the first school who was able. Now another school at Boston, they bought their own building. Because we can connect. I don't mean now in this month, but in the future, we can build this, and we can build another kind of community. We can have concerts, and this cultural center will actually build something that we dreamed about. We don't have any cultural center or any specific place that we Bulgarians can meet and spread the Bulgarian culture. And everything was great until this COVID-19 happened now, but I think that this is a temporary crisis that we will survive and do more and more to build the community and to pass on the generations after us.
Absolutely. And you also mentioned in the beginning that this time created more opportunities for yourselves to, let's say, fall in love with technologies more and more, because you didn't like to be on the camera, but now you do, right? So this is something that you are learning for yourself as well. And I look at this also very optimistically. In the beginning, I wasn't sure what to do what happened. But then you have to come up with a strategy. And my strategy, it's reflection time. It's definitely more self-care time. And maybe reset time. Reconsider the goals and see what is next in the books, right? And
yes.
So what would you recommend or what kind of advice would you give to people who come to this country?
First, to speak, to keep their native language, but to participate in all these opportunities that this country gives to them, free classes, and all the ways that they can learn English. Even if you do that, even if they can be volunteers, even, in many ways. And I'm giving you another example with one of our best teachers at Little Bulgarian School. When we connected like 10 years ago, when the school started, she said that she tried, she applied for being a teacher at many schools and nobody asked her for interview. Then she came in our school and I introduced her to my school district as a volunteer, and because she's a very responsible person, the next year they called her for interview and now she's with them. Yeah, so look at how the things happens. Actually, you have to recommend. So to all the people that come to their country, keep your native language, study hard, and try to get the same job that you used to have, and even better. And if you need English, go and take as many English classes as you can during the week. Because sometimes when people can't understand, I said, you know what, you can still have the difference between not having English is at least 1,000 per month. Okay, why don't you look at this way? And sometimes this is the way that they can understand. Yeah, okay, why not?
Absolutely. So you can't emphasize enough the importance of the language. It's very important to speak.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, it's been fascinating, Zivka. Thank you very much for this interview, for sharing all the expertise and your life story, which I didn't know many things. It was great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to more projects with you and learning from you, because I consider you my mentor. I learn from you a lot.
Thank you, because you are doing everything wonderful, Anna. How can I be your mentor? But friend, always.
I might not say it, but we learn sometimes, what's the right word? Not spontaneously, but subconsciously. And we don't realize this, but then after a while, when you apply something that we learn from people, you go like, yeah, I like it. That was useful.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I hope this coronavirus time will be behind before we know it. I hope you stay safe.
Yes, you too. Thank you.